The verse written on the board is the first of the Pranam Mantras to Sri Nityananda Prabhu given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll recite that and other verses from Chaitanya. This is from the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we can recite all these verses as a Mangalacharan, or Mangalacharan, as is usually mispronounced. Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Ishavatarakan Tat Prakashans to Tat Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, His plenary portions, His energies, and the primeval Lord Himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahoditao Gaurodaye Pushpavantao Chitro Shando Tamonudo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaur to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Yadadvaitam brahmopanishadi tadapyasya tanubha ya atmantaryami purusha itisyo sangsha vibhavaha shadaishvarya purno yaiha bhagavan sasvayamaya nachetanyat krishnaj jagati paratattvam paramiha. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of His body, and the Lord known as the Supersoul is but His localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself, full with six opulences. He is the Absolute Truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to Him. Anarapita chirin chirat karunya vatirna kalau samarpiyatum onatajvala rasa rasang swabhakti shriyam harif purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita sada hridya kandare spurutu va shachinandaraha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the Son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali by His causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Haladini Shaktirasmad Ekatma Navapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gatau Tau Chaitanya Kyang Prakatam Adhuna Tadvayang Chaikyamaptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayaiva Svadyo Yenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadiyaha Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Viti Lobhat Tadbhavadhya Samajani Shakti Garbha Sindhau Harinduhu. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Shachi Devi, as the moon appeared from the ocean. This verse is actually cast in the form of questions. Krishna is asking, what is the greatness, what kind of love is that Radha has for me, etc. So now beginning the Mangalacharan with the prayers of at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. Sankarshana Karana Toya Shai Garbhoda Shai Cha Payobdhi Shai Sheshas Cha Yasyang Sakalasa Nityananda Kyarama Sharanang Mamastu. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsana, Shesha Naga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Mayatite vyapi vaikuntha loke purnaishvaraye shri chaturvyuha madhye rupam yasyodbhati sankarsanakyam tang shri nityananda ramam prapadye. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Rama, who is known as Sankarsan, in the midst of the chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. Maya Bharata Janda Sanghasrayanga Shete Sakshat Karanana Karanam Bodhi Madhye Yasyaikangsha Sri Puman Adi Devas Tang Sri Nityananda Ramang Prapadye. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Rama, whose partial representation called Karana Dakshai Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. Yas yang shang shas shri lagar bhodashai yannabhyab jang loka sanghatanalam loka srashthu sutika dhamadhatus tang shri nityananda ramang prapadye. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Rama, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshay Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. Yes, yang shang shang sahparatma kilanang pushta vishnur bhati dugdhabdhi shai kshoni bharata yatkala sopyanam tas tang shri nityananda ramang prapadye. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Rama, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Kshirodakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshanaga is his further sub-part. We are to worship Nityananda Prabhu. That is only possible to do by His mercy. Just as Ganga is worshipped by Ganga, Ganga comes to this world out of her mercy, sent by the Supreme Lord to bestow the mercy of His lotus feet on the pious, but still in need of purification, inhabitants of Bharatavarsha especially. She travels through the upper planetary systems and appears in this Bharatavarsha carrying with her the dust of the lotus feet of Bhagavan Vishnu. So she comes by her mercy, and she is worshipped by herself. By offering Ganga to Ganga, she is worshipped. So whatever we have to say about Nityananda Prabhu is only by His mercy. He comes to this world, which by its nature is asat, achit, and nirananda. It is temporary, full of ignorance and miserable. There is some happiness. That happiness is not real happiness. It is not Nityananda. It is temporary. It is temporary and only a semblance, a very poor semblance of actual happiness. So Nityananda comes to give actual mercy, and he really comes to give it. He's not like a shop that people go to get something, but he forcibly distributes it. In this sense, he is the archetypal preacher of Krishna consciousness in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retired early, but he didn't allow Nityananda. He was the first preacher in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retired for bhajan, Nityananda was left to deliver the fallen souls, which he did practically by force. So by his mercy, we are here. His mercy has manifested as the Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Of course, that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda together. Paramakaruna Pahunduijan. The two most merciful are Nitai and Gaurachandra. But there's no question of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy without Nityananda Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and vice versa. They're inseparable. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami points out, that one who thinks that they can, and Vrindavan Das Thakur also points out, those who think that they can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by denying Nityananda, they simply go to hell in the name of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the two are inseparable. Today we are particularly focusing on the merciful personality of Nityananda Prabhu, who can be understood by his own mercy. He's the most merciful. What is that mercy? Well, that we just sung, the ultimate result of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Nitaya karuna hobe braje radha krishna pabe. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one can attain Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. It's a long way. It's a long way to Vrindavan. Though it's maybe physically we may think we're separated from Vrindavan by about 800 kilometers or something like that. But it's a long way to go. But the mercy of Lord Nityananda makes it possible. The first installment of Nityananda's mercy Ar Kobe Nit, what is that? Ar Kobe Nityananda Sangsara Bharshadama Ar Ar Kobe Mo Kobe Nitai Chanda Karuna Hoibe Sangsara Bhasanamo Kobe Tucha Hobe. Ar Kobe Nitai Chanda Karuna Hoibe Sangsara Bhasanamo Kobe Tucha Hobe. Yeah, the first installment is that we can know that Nityananda's mercy that will be manifest when the material desires, which the transcendentalist sees his material desires as a huge mountain standing in between us and Krishna. Very difficult to cross mountain. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, those material desires, which are so strong, laladiva niyojitaha, they as if forcibly engage us in sinful activity, sinful desires, lusty desires. Then by the mercy, ar kobe nitai chande karuna hoi beishong shara basanamo kobe tucha hobe. Narottam Das is asking, when those desires, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, that is possible, they will seem as insignificant. No more material desires. So that is possible by His mercy. We can pray today that Nityananda Prabhu manifest Himself. We're speaking of Nityananda Prabhu. We're chanting His names. So we pray that He may be pleased to manifest Himself. He's always present. How much more should He be? Is He present in the temple here where He is presiding with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But we don't feel His presence. We don't think of Nityananda. Therefore, the result is ahankare mattohaya nitai pada pasariya asattere satta karimani. The result of forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda is that we're in maya. We're all in, well, I can speak for myself. We're in maya because we're insane
with thinking about myself, me, me, my, I, me, and mine, ahamma meti. We don't think of Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, we take that which is unreal to be real. So we pray that at least today, that Nityananda Prabhu manifests in our hearts. In kirtan, that we performed kirtan just now for a little more than an hour. So Nityananda Prabhu, he is there in the kirtan. He manifests in the kirtan. He manifests as he is the kirtan. If we become absorbed in the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in that kirtan, then the result should be actual kirtan as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that we forget everything else. We don't know anymore that I have this problem and that problem and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. We're absorbed in the kirtan. There's only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's nothing else. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. We'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita the description that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform kirtan, and then he'd perform kirtan. He'd go on with kirtan. And they'd do kirtan. And kirtan, it starts in the Brahma Muhurta. And by midday, it'd still be going on. Because in spiritual existence, there is no time. And there's nothing else to do. What else is there to do? There's nothing. When you forget your body, your mind, I have this to do, that to do. There's only Hari Kirtan. And then there's nothing else to do. And it just goes, there's no reason to stop. There's no even thought to stop. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kirtan. So this is the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that we are praying for. Incidentally, in that Kirtan, that one particular kirtan that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was going on still at midday, have they started in Brahma Muhurta. That means they'd been going on for maybe 7 hours, like that. What we would call 7 hours. So it was Nityananda Prabhu was deputed to wind down the kirtan so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going on in his ecstasy, but no one had performed their morning duties. It was time for their midday duties. No one had eaten, no one had bathed, no one had drunk anything. So slowly, slowly, kirtan, everyone is in ecstasy chanting, and Nityananda gradually had few people stopped, then a few more, until there's only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! And no one else is chanting. What happened? And then Sri Dhamma told him, turn off this light. He didn't tell him, turn off the light. I'm saying to turn off the light. Sri Dhamma told him, actually, you see, it's midday now, and we have to take prasadam. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappointed. Now, all right. So this should be the result of, not the result. There's no result there either. Why are we doing kirtan? For what purpose? There's no purpose. There's no result that one is waiting for. There's no need to or reason to explain why when one is absorbed in that plane. Just like we find in the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't discuss why we should be with Krishna. There's no point of discussion. There's no It's the realm beyond thought. Nirvishesh gyan, jogira dhyan, nirvishesh gyan, shakane napaistiti. That's described. That swarasiki siddhi, vrajagopidham, paramachanchala shati. Nirvishesh gyan, jogira dhyan, shakane napaistiti. In the swarasiki siddhi, or the perfection of each gopi in their service to Krishna, which is their treasure, their wealth, their very being, and which is parama chanchala asati, which has the opposite qualities of being completely chanchala or unfixed, and sati, and being completely fixed at the same time. So in the yogi's meditation, and the nirvishesh gyanis, the neti neti, those who think it is not this, it is not that, they have no place there. So the mercy of Lord Nityananda is manifested by no material desires, only spiritual desires. And the spiritual desire to love Krishna and serve Krishna, it's natural. It doesn't need explanation. Just like a child, you don't have to explain to the child or teach the child how to suck the mother's breast. You don't have to give them a course on nutrition or tell them that this is, you see, it's a good thing to do. Every baby does it. There's no need of any explanation. Nor do you have to induce them to do it. They automatically do that. And they're fully satisfied in doing that. So that is the plane of Nityananda, where there's no more all discussion of this, that, the other, dharma, adharma. Even bhakti is not, it's not discussed there. There's no need to discuss. It flows spontaneously. So that is the mercy of Nityananda. That is the ultimate manifestation of that. Of course, that doesn't mean that we artificially stop all discussion, or we artificially stop all philosophical thought, because that is required on this plane. But that is the platform to aspire for, and that, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, we can begin to touch that plane in kirtan, of the Hare Krishna mantra. If that is performed by devotees with the aim to please Krishna, praying, actually, not performing kirtan as a musical performance or as a ritual because we're supposed to do it, but when devotees who are sivan mukhe hi jivado, who are actually dedicated their lives in the service of Krishna, their life, their full being in the service of Krishna, they serve Krishna by the tongue and become absorbed. Shirashe majya mukhe baloha vishaya charya shirashe majya, that when one by the mercy of Lord Nityananda one becomes free from material desires, then one can actually become absorbed in Krishna bhakti ras, Hari Kirtan Ras. And then that chanting, that is actual chanting of the holy names. Then the chanting will come spontaneously. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special dispensation for this age. Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatiranyata. The holy name. Everyone in this material world is a long, long way away from Vrindavan, a long way from Nityananda. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, he gives that means by which one can just immediately pierce through all the coverings of the universe and go through this, even go past Vaikuntha to Vrindavan. One can go there. How far is Vrindavan? 800 kilometers. And then the other way you can go, that is all through the planetary system, through the coverings of the universe, through the Karna ocean, and then cross into the spiritual world, and then go Dwarka, pass Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Mathura, then you can finally reach Vrindavan. Or we can chant Hare Krishna by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. By chanting Hare Krishna, immediately transfers one to the plane of Nityananda, of eternal full bliss. That is possible if we are actually chanting Hare Krishna. That is possible by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, that we can enter into that plane simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahi kahilam, e maha mantra, iha japagiya shabe kari nibandha, iha hoite sharva shiddhi hoibe shaba, sharva khan kahanam vidhi nahiya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I've told you, this mantra, this is the maha mantra, everyone should chant this, following the rules and regulations of devotional service. Everyone should chant. Everyone. From this, everyone will attain complete and full perfection. So everyone should chant constantly. There is no need of doing anything else. This is the process. So everyone can achieve all perfection. That everyone can achieve all perfection was demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even more so by Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the fallen, the sinful, but Nityananda Prabhu especially, he sent Nityananda Prabhu without any discrimination to the houses of the chandalas, and no, chandala means they live away from the tongue. They don't live among civilized people, respectable people. No, where they live, no one from cultured society goes. I mean, the brahmanas, they don't even go outside their own area. Hardly they'll go. What to speak of, even to the kshatriya's area, vaishya's area, definitely not the shudra's area. And where the chandalas live, no one goes there. If you simply go there, then you immediately lose all your caste. Just by going there, you're out of the civilized society, bahishkrit, thrown out. Just by doing that. You may have to perform some prayaschitta. But Nityananda goes there regularly and begs from the chandalas. He begs them to... Actually, he was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you go everywhere and tell everyone to chant Hare Krishna with no discrimination. But Nityananda Prabhu, he thought, what are these people going to chant Hare Krishna? Better they chant the name of Gauranga. They'll be better benefited. So, that famous verse is there. Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gaurangera Namare, Jejan Gauranga Bhaji, Shemora Pranore. Nityananda, he would go to all the people Even those who are not, they're not even considered, they're practically not considered human beings. And he would tell them, yeah, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to Nityananda and Haridas. Shuno shuno Nityananda, shuno Haridas, shabatra amaragya karaha prakash. Prati ghare ghare. Every door. Means every door. Prati ghare ghare giya kara ebhikha. Bhajya Krishna, balo Krishna, laha Krishna shikha. He told, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda and Haridas, make my order known everywhere. And everywhere means everywhere. Even among the most fallen. Go to every door and beg the people to worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Karo Krishna Shikha. Study Krishna's teachings or teachings about Krishna. But Nityananda, in his typical style, modified that. Because he's completely attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he doesn't take orders from anyone, even from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you have to preach in Bengal. See, all the devotees from Bengal are coming here and staying with me 4 months. Every year during the Chatur Mass, don't come. You stay. You have to preach. And Nityananda, he didn't care. He would come anyway. He had a direct order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he directly ignored it. So, he was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't ignore the order to preach, but he thought, well, I'll preach, okay, but I'm not going to be away from him all the year. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Nityananda whenever he danced, and he danced a lot. So, Nityananda would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with him, dancing. Others wouldn't see. Those who are fortunate, they would see. Not many would see. So the order was there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, to chant the name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. But Nityananda, he thought, these people, they're useless. How are they going to chant Krishna? So he thought that, let them just chant the name of Gauranga. That's all. That's good for them. All the chanting Hare Krishna, that's way, way, way above. Just let them chant the name of Gauranga. Now he's come. Sheto esheche. Raja hate nadi ai sheto esheche. He's come from Vrindavan to Nadia. Radha bhava kantiloye. With the feelings and complexion of Radharani. So why will they chant the name of Krishna? Krishna's here. As Gauranga, so the most merciful, Mahavadanya Avatar. So why should they chant the name? Let them chant the name of Gauranga. So this was Nityananda Prabhu's begging, door to door. Shonara Parabhata Jena Dhulate Lotai is described like a golden mountain rolling on the ground. He would go to people's door and call, and they'll come out, and then they'd see a golden mountain rolling on the ground in front of them, wonder what's going on there. And he would be begging them to chant the name. What which name? To chant the name of Gauranga. Bhajya Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Namai. Worship Gauranga. Say the name Gauranga. Take the name of Gauranga. Whoever takes the name, take the name means that's, in Bengali you say, take the name. It means to chant the name. Jai Jan Gauranga Bhaji. Whoever worships Gauranga, he is my life, Nityananda says. So we can best worship Nityananda Prabhu by worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can best worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by worshipping Nityananda Prabhu. And we can best worship both of them
by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. They'll both be very satisfied. That is what they've come to give, is the Hare Krishna mantra. By giving the Hare Krishna mantra, they've given the whole, everything, the whole, all of spiritual existence. This we find that Srila Prabhupada, who is Nityananda? You ever heard that before? Prabhupada is Nityananda. You know that? Well, Prabhupada wrote in one letter about his own, he said, my Guru Maharaj, who is Lord Nityananda? So, Prabhupada's Lord Nityananda. He is? But all the gurus, all the acharyas, they are non-different from Lord Nityananda. They're all carrying the mercy and expanding it more and more and more. So they are non-different. There's this spreading Krishna consciousness to meat eaters, people completely ignorant of Krishna, absolutely no inclination whatsoever toward Krishna consciousness, no knowledge of it, no piety whatsoever. Anyone who preaches Krishna consciousness among such people, it must be understood that they are Nityananda. They're fully surcharged with the mercy of Nityananda. So Srila Prabhupada also, in New York, let's describe, one man described, he couldn't understand it. But Srila Prabhupada in New York, maybe 1965, gave this man a piece of paper, a printed handbill, on which was written, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the man said that, Swamiji gave me this piece of paper, with, he had this smile on his face, like he was giving me the whole world. And the man thought, you know, it's just a piece of paper. But Prabhupada, he couldn't understand. It's a piece of paper with something. He couldn't, what is this? If anyone tries to read that, what will they read? They don't know what is this. But he was confused by that. Why is Swamiji looking so happy? And he has this look on his face like he's giving you the whole world. Why is that? He couldn't understand it at all. Well, Prabhupada understood, of course, that he's giving this man the opportunity to get far more than the whole world. The whole world is completely useless, completely meaningless. Achaitanya midang vishvam. It's without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this whole world is devoid of consciousness and completely meaningless and useless. So even if you get the whole world, people, they become excited if they win a lottery and they get 1 lakh. Or they're so much concerned about their 10 paisa or 10 crores or whatever it may be. They're so concerned. But even if you get the whole world, it's all completely meaningless. That we find in the story of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. The most valuable thing. And what is that? It's in the garbage pile. And what's the most valuable thing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they came to give this and to get it. They were giving it, and they were getting it. They were relishing more and more the nectar of Sankirtan. They came as devotees. Rajendra Nandan Jay Shachi Shuta Hailo She Balarama Hailo Nitai. They come. They are God. They are Bhagavan. They are worshipable. But they come. Just like we in this Mangalacharya, we read that they come. Kidrisham, what is that? Krishna, what is that?
Just see how happy Radha is. Appreciate what is her glory. Krishna is surprised. He can't understand it. He wants. She's got something that I don't have. It's not fair. There should be gender equality. The women have more than the men. It's not fair. She got more than me. So, Krishna, has to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find out. He becomes greedy. Kidisham veti lo bhat, out of greed, to understand what is the bliss that Radha is relishing. He comes. And Balaram comes with him. Balaram is always serving. He is the Adi Guru, the first Guru. He teaches by his example how to serve Krishna. Balaram serves Krishna in every way possible. He always goes with Krishna. When Rama came, then Lakshman was always with him. When Krishna is there, then Balaram is always there. The expansions, Krishna's shoes, his bed, his clothing, his Brahmin thread, his parasol, everything about Krishna, everything, all his personal paraphernalia, and the whole spiritual world is all manifested by Balaram to serve Krishna. So he's the best guru, because he shows by his example everything about him is fully surcharged with service to Krishna. So he comes again as Nityananda. He is eternally Nityananda. It's not that he comes into being, but he is eternally in the eternal bliss of service to Krishna. He manifests that in this world. He comes to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And together they relish the bliss of chanting the holy names. And they bestow that on everyone. And Nityananda even practically, forcibly, he's very insistent. He doesn't like that anyone will not take the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you give this to everyone. So if anyone doesn't want to take it, Nityananda Prabhu, he's not pleased. Why? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me to give this to everyone, and you won't take it. You're a rascal. You're not allowing me to do my service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he becomes angry. So Nityananda is very difficult to understand. We can understand it by his mercy. We're praying for his mercy. We're praying that he be present among us, that he's been manifest by his mercy. Understanding means there's not by the brain. There's no gene or neuron by which we can understand Nityananda. This rascal, what is that? The God gene. The people, they think that there's some gene by which people are deluded into understanding God. But even if you had the best genes, then the genes won't make you understand God. I'm not talking about pants and jeans. I'm talking about definitely people who wear jeans. It's going to be more difficult for them to understand God. Because wearing jeans means it's a commitment to enjoy this material world. But I'm talking about G-E-N-E-S jeans, not J-E-A-N-S jeans. So, Nityananda Prabhu, understanding him again, it's all by his mercy. We're praying for his mercy to understand him. But he's the most difficult. Who can understand Nityananda? Again and again we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, although he begins Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first 7 chapters, or 6 chapters, are dedicated to explaining Gaura Tattva, Nityananda Tattva, Advaita Tattva, these 3 in particular. Who are these personalities? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Nityananda Prabhu? Who is Advaita Acharya? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, who expands himself as the Purusha avatars. That he is the Purusha avatar. His expansions are the Purusha avatars. That is explained at some length to give some idea of his greatness. He's not some Bengali who became worshipped as God. Some Bengali Brahmin who became Vishvamba Mishra became known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not like that. He is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just some historical Bengali. Nothing like that. So Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, he is Mahavishnu. So all this is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita in some detail. But then the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are described, are so atisur durbhut is one term that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami uses. Durbhut means already difficult to understand. Sudurbhut means more difficult. And atisur durbhut means durable or not possible to understand. But even if you think it might be possible to understand, then there's sudurbod, and then there's atisurdurbod. It's way, way beyond the platform of genes. It's way beyond the platform of neural interaction. There's no brain by which we can understand. So again and again, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, just hear this with faith. Don't bring any arguments. Just forget it. You want to give some argument? Well, we don't believe this actually happened. We don't believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. I doubt all this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami again and again says, just don't even think like that. Just listen with faith. And you will get all the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So it's not that there's blind faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it is definitely faith is required. And there's so much shastric basis for that. But our rascal tendency is to not believe that. So Krishnadas Kaviraj again and again says, don't doubt, just accept it, believe it. Now who will understand this? And most people, they have no interest. If we speak to them, if we go out on the street and tell them that Nityananda, he is Karnadakshay Vishnu, Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, Shira Dakshay Vishnu. He is the source of the 3 Vishnus who are the regulators of the mundane universes. Well, in India some people might show a little respect. But not if you go on the street. When they come to the temple, then like that. Out on the street, they're absorbed in, I have to go to the office, make money, and all this. At that time, they're not interested. But what are they going to understand about all of this? Most people are not interested even in Atmatattva. They're already defeated. Parabhavastavad abhodajata yavanna jignyasata atmatattvam. They're not interested to understand who am I, what is the difference between the body and the soul. They're already, this human life is spoiled and wasted because they don't take even the initial step to understand what is the nature of being, who am I actually. Even if they are religious, they may be religious and pious, but according to Rishabdin, if someone does not inquire into the nature of the self, then they are defeated in the purpose of life. Their life is spoiled because they're not serious about spiritual understanding. And that's just the beginning. That can be called knowledge, atma tattva gyan. But beyond that is vigyan, or understanding that who is God, what is my relationship with Him, and who will understand all these things. Mostly people think, God. Okay, we believe in God, and that's it. And they don't try to understand, and therefore we have they think Sai Baba is God, they think their guru is God, they think Jesus is God. They make so many mistakes. Or they say about Allah that they make Him so ununderstandable that practically it's just so inconceivable that you can't think about Him at all. You can't, even the word Him doesn't fit. Of course we say inconceivable, but that it doesn't mean totally inconceivable. If Krishna was totally inconceivable, then we couldn't have any relationship with Him, or it wouldn't mean anything. If we say that God is completely inconceivable, then the word God has no meaning. Then God just becomes a synonym for inconceivable. If there's nothing that you can say about Him that's understandable, at least at the theoretical level, then if that's the contention, then God and inconceivable, they just become synonyms, that's all. There's nothing whatsoever that you can think about Him, understand. This is shunyavad. There's nothing. They consider it, the Muslims consider it haram, or worse. They consider it a sacrilege to even think anything that about, even though they have names of Him, which, and the names must have some meaning. He's the most merciful. Well, there you go. Then merciful means equality, but they'll deny His equality. It's inconceivable how they have such a non-philosophy. It's not like a bad philosophy. It's just the antithesis of any philosophy. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriyaha Jnana Vairagya Yaschaiva Shandang Bhagatingina. The personality of Krishna is very difficult to understand. Vishnu is more understandable from our platform. He's respectable God. He's a real God, you see. He gives out blessings, sits on His throne. He's God. It's quite clear that He's God. And Rama is also very good. But Krishna doesn't seem like God. Running around bare feet, chasing after some cows, running around with girls, telling jokes all the time. What kind of a God tells jokes? You're supposed to tell jokes. You should have to be serious here. No joke telling. Just calm, mild, grave, thinking of the benefit, being looking after others, considerate. Yeah, that's God. But this God who runs into people's houses and sets the calves loose so that the people run out, and then in the meantime he takes all their butter, makes a quick dash, raid, and throws quickly with all his friends. So they're in and out, and they took all the butter. And there's no forensic department, police department, to find out who did it. They can't take the thumbprints. So, for instance, what to speak of? Actually, there are other, how he will come behind the gopis and loosen their clothing. That we don't talk about very much. But this is all in the character of Krishna. Doesn't seem like God. What to speak of all the lies and cheating he did on the battle of Kurukshetra? So Krishna is very difficult to understand. And the most difficult thing is his dealings with the gopis, which is the very essence of his being. Should we discuss this or should we not? We definitely shouldn't discuss it. I mean, we definitely should discuss it. No, actually, we shouldn't discuss it. Well, we must discuss it. But we better not discuss it. But we have to discuss it. Because if we don't, then we want to make Krishna, it's like this near beer or something. They take the alcohol out of the beer. And then you want to drink the beer and get the taste of the beer without the alcohol. So something like that. If we don't want to talk about Krishna with the gopis, it's something like that. Because Krishna, this is the Krishna who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly comes to emulate. So, yeah, we should discuss. This is Jaiva Dharma, the ultimate position or role of the Jiva. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. Jiva Sarupai Krishna Nitya Das. Every Jiva is the servant of Krishna. So that is the position of every Jiva. And the more the service is inclined, the more one's jivatva, or one's livingness, or one's being as a living being, is, the more one is a jiva. In Shantaras, they're also jivas, but they're not very, they don't jive much. They don't jive around much. They're just, okay, calm, everything calm. Everything nice, Krishna's nice. Then they go up to Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and then Sringararas or Madhuraras. Then things get really lively. The jiva becomes so much filled with Shakti, which is the symptom of the jiva. They're known as Shakti Tattva. So the full extent of the jiva is realized, or the jivas who Krishna reciprocates with everyone, but he's particularly himself fascinated by the gopis' dealings with him, especially Radha. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his book Jaiva Dharma. At the end of that book is the description of Krishna's intimate pastimes with the gopis and how to enter that. One of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, after the passing of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he printed Jaiva Dharma of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, leaving out that last section. And in his introduction, he said, in accord with the mood and teachings of our guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we have not included this section. So that's understandable. But on the other hand, without that, the Jaiva Dharma of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Bhakti Vinod, of every jiva, it's not fully the Jaiva Dharma. So this is Krishna. Very difficult to understand. So difficult to understand that we shouldn't discuss it. When I say understand, I'm not talking about some academic understanding. You can get your PhD writing on it. You take that PhD certificate, and because you're a malecha and you do such things, you need toilet paper, you use that for toilet paper. Wash it down the toilet. That is a good use of your PhD certificate, as you have such filthy habits of trying to make Krishna the object of your academic study and passing stool and then wiping the stool on your backside with paper. It's similar proclivities. So you can use that certificate for wiping your backside. It'll be a very good use of your PhD certificate. So when we say understand Krishna, that does not mean the understanding of the professor in the university. As Srila Prabhupada wrote, one should get a PhD from Ramananda Rai. This is the understanding we're talking about. So that understanding of Krishna and the gopis, it is particularly that which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute, as we just read. Anarpita chiring chirat karunyavatirno kalau samapiyatam unatajvala rasa svabhakti shriyam. That which was not offered in the world before, that very topmost resplendent Krishna, bhakti to Krishna, the Krishna who is, here we see, holding up, he's Giridhari, he's holding up the hill with all the, surrounded by the gopis, all the residents of Vrindavan. This Krishna, the Shyamasundara Krishna, the Vrajajana Ranjana Krishna, that is particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach about that and to relish that himself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who can understand? Krishna himself, who can understand this? Only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who will understand him? Very difficult to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Generally we think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we can relate to them, or we can understand them more than Krishna's pastimes, which they seem, Krishna's pastimes, and so many demons, and with changeable form, like one demon with a python form, another as a big horse, another as a bull, another as a whirlwind. So you may think that, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they seem easier to understand, but Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj said that Krishna's pastimes, maybe we can understand them a little, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they're really most difficult to enter into. So, there's that. Shri Krishna, Shri Gopi, Paramabhirod. Who can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That he is Krishna and he's a gopi. Particularly. And these two are Paramabhirod. These two identities are completely opposed to each other. There's no unisex in the spiritual world. The men are men and the women are women. Of course, sometimes
Krishna dresses as Radha and Radha dresses as Krishna.
But men are distinctly men and the women are distinctly women. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these rascals, they're going to take this. Anyway, we won't discuss them now.
That the two natures which are completely opposite to each other, and then, yeah, Achincha Charitra Prabhu Ati Sudurbod. That term, Ati Sudurbod, comes here.
That Achincha Charitra, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his character and personality and pastimes, they are Achincha. They're not understandable by any material method. Ati Sudurbod. Far, far beyond the range of understanding of by any material means. Achintya Charitra Prabhu, Ati Sudurbod. Because that Krishna himself is so many great Vaishnavas, they cannot understand Krishna. Great Vaishnavas. And they think that Krishna, his identity, his intrinsic identity is as an avatar of Vishnu. They don't know Krishna. They think he's an avatar of Vishnu. There's Matsya, Kurama, Varaha, Narasimha, and then Krishna. It's one of the avatars. But they don't know that Vishnu himself is an expansion of Krishna, non-different. He's an expansion of Krishna. And he himself, Vishnu, he himself, he's also appreciating the beauty and pastimes of Krishna. They don't know that Krishna's flute is not just some kind of appendage that he has, not just something that he just happens to have. But that is a characteristic of Krishna that sets the whole world ablaze with prema, with love of Krishna. They don't know this. They have no idea that those who think that Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu, what is the Krishna praying? They have no idea of that. It's a very formal worship of Krishna, of Vishnu. That is glorious also. We don't discount that. But comparatively speaking, in the realm of comparative transcendence, then Krishna, he is much more relishable, playful, lovable, beautiful in every respect. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully. He is Purna Purushottam, Purna Taram, fully, fullest. So, Krishna, most difficult to understand because his pastime. His pastimes, playful Krishna, that is what makes him Purna Purushottam. Not his lording over the world, but his playfulness, his Leela, Leela Purushottam. So he's very difficult to understand. And then who will understand Radha? Even there are some devotees who worship Krishna in Vrindavan, but they worship Bal Gopal. They also no, Radha is there, they're not against Radha. But they've not entered the mysteries of that. That especially I'm saying the Vallabh Sampradaya. They worship Krishna in Vrindavan, but as a young boy. Or even Nimbak Sampradaya, they know Radha Krishna, but they don't know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to show that viraha bhava. So these are all very, this is all ati sur durbod.
far, far beyond the plane of noetic gain, or noetic attainment, or intellectual attainment. This is all discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. All these points are discussed by our acharyas. So Krishna has come as a gopi, but as a male, but with the feelings of a gopi. Shri Krishna, Shri Gopi, Paramavirod. It is two natures are quite opposite to, or a, yeah, not just opposite, but opposing. They're actually opposing natures, but they become harmonized. Ekatmana vapi bhuvipura deha bhedam gatau to chaitanyakyam prakatam yad aduna tadvayam chaikyam aptam radha bhava dyuti suvalitam nomi krishna surupam radha krishna praniya vikriti haladine shakti rasmad. So these are all highly exalted subject matters. Mostly the Gauriyas, they don't enter Vedanta study much. They may do, for this, that's also required for the protection of our sampradaya, for bringing out the glory of our sampradaya, and certainly all the Vedanta is glorifying Krishna in Vrindavan, but directly so Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Vedartha Paribringhitam. All the meanings of the Vedas are fully manifest in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam subtly points towards this Radha Krishna Praniya Vikriti. These the difficult, recondite points of Vedanta study. They are that same nature of reconditeness or difficulty to understand. The Gauriyas, they put their attention into this difficult to understand subject matter at a highly relishable level. That how Radha and Krishna are one tattva, one reality, one being, but they eternally exist as two, and again they come together as one in this inconceivable person, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I've been speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're supposed to be talking about Nityananda Prabhu. Well, then we come to the next point, that Atma Tattva, most people have no interest, or even if they have interest in what is Atma Tattva, they think the soul, yeah, God created me, I'm a soul, and within me is a soul. Inside me is a soul. They think, I am this body and I have a soul. So most people, they don't understand Atma Tattva. What to speak of Paramatma Tattva, what to speak of Bhagavat Tattva, the nature of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of Krishna Tattva, and then Gaura Tattva, and then everyone's lost. Who's going to understand it? Who could understand this? Surup Davada and Rupa Goswami, two people, that's all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Surup Damodar, and Rupa Goswami, and Madhavendra Puri before him also. So, but what's the fun of being God unless you have friends? You know, this nasty old man sitting on a cloud, well, what's the fun of being God? It better be Satan. He has more fun, right? He has more friends. Satan has lots of friends, and God is just some nasty old man pronouncing curses. But Gaur, he wants to do Sankirtan. Who's he going to do Sankirtan with? Only Rupa Goswami and Srup Damodar can understand. So Nityananda,
Nityananda Tattva is more difficult to understand because he's so wild. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's wild but controllable. But Nityananda, he's wild and completely unpredictable and uncontrollable. We see Krishna and Balaram, Ram and Lakshman. Among them, between Ram and Lakshman, Ram is pretty cool-headed. Lakshman, he's not cool-headed. He's pretty hot-headed. Ram has to cool him down all the time. So like that, Krishna and Balaram, same Balaram. He's also, he gets pretty angry, pretty quickly. All lucky are those who become the objects of anger, of Lord Balaram's anger. His expansion is Sankarsan, who expands as Lord Shiva, especially the aspect of Lord Shiva who destroys the universe. Sankarsan, Ananta Shesh, he gets so angry, all these rascals, they're not Krishna conscious, he burns up the whole universe. This is Balaram. So Nityananda Tattva, he fully demonstrates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not constrained by any rules. Krishna does that. He's not under any rules. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas. What a joke. God takes sannyas. People think that he took sannyas. But he's always the Supreme Personality of God. It's his leela. He shows that. Otherwise, he's not a sannyasi. He's not within this material consideration. No such consideration. But he strictly follows the rules of sannyas, just to teach others so that others will not be misled. That in the name of sannyas, they will not be misled. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict in his practice of sannyas. But Nityananda, he doesn't follow any rules. Therefore he's known as avadhut. Avadhut means he doesn't follow any rules. Sannyasi already, he doesn't have many rules. Like the grihasthas. We think that grihastha life, there's some allowance, and sannyasis, they have to be strict. But actually in Vedic culture, the grihasthas have many more rules than the sannyasis. You have to follow so many rules. The Brahmins have so many rules to follow. Their whole day is governed by rules. Therefore they're called smarthas. So many rules, smriti rules to follow. Sannyasis, they don't have many rules, but they'd better follow them properly. For a sannyasi, there's no prayas chitta. He just has to follow. He follows or else he becomes a dog eating vomit. That's all. There's no going back. If a sannyasi falls down, if he breaks the rules by associating with women or going back to his family, then he just attains the status of a dog that eats his own vomit. That's all. That's all. There are not so many rules in sannyas life, but they're very serious rules. Very strict rules one has to follow. But Nityananda, he does what he likes. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu orders him. You don't come and see me. He goes to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He orders him, teach these people to chant the name of Krishna. He teaches them the name of Gauranga, which is non-different. But it's his own idea. He's adapting to time, place and circumstance. He's the original guru. He sees what required. He takes the basic principle and sees what is required to be done. So Nityananda, he does that. He goes to everyone, not only to the high class people, but to everyone. He and his followers, they'll go to the Muslims, they'll go to the chandalas, and everyone, they'll give them love of Krishna. That's why even, still today in Bengal, there are two main guru lines, Advaita Vamsa, Nityananda Vamsa. So Advaita Vamsa, the Goswamis, they think we are high class. We only initiate people, good class of people, but those Nityananda Vamsa, they initiate anyone. Just anyone comes, they'll initiate them. So that was Nityananda's mood. Of course, his mood was to give them Krishna bhakti. It wasn't so much to initiate them, capture them, get their yearly dakshina. That wasn't Nityananda's plan. His aim was to give. He understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. So for that, he spread, him and his followers, they spread Krishna consciousness very widely. And there are so many things to say, but now I think we can, now is a good point to sing this. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. And what's the other one from the Chaitanya Mango? Nitai Guna Maniyama. We can sing those two songs now. Do you have that song sheet? I'll just explain this one a little bit. Hare Krishna. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai Abhimana Shunya Nitai Nagare Belai. Akrodha. This word is used to describe Nityananda Prabhu, here referred to as Nityananda Rai. Rai means like Raja, king. But it's well known that Nityananda often gets angry. For instance, he came to the village of Ramachandra Khan, who was a fully dedicated, fully fixed up offender of Vaishnavas. He was like his life's profession. He very seriously offended Haridas Thakur. So when Nityananda came with his group, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was traveling with a group throughout Bengal, preaching Krishna consciousness, he came to the village of Ramachandra Khan, who didn't come personally to receive him, which is in itself an offense. But he sent a servant. And said that the party, they can be accommodated in the, he's the head of the village, so he has to, any sadhus that come, it's his duty to accommodate them. So he said, we'll put them in the cow shed. He didn't receive them properly. So Nityananda, he didn't stay in that village. He became angry and said that this place is fit. There's this kind of attitude. It's fit for visiting by cow killers. Atmaghati. Janiya shuniya shay atmaghati hoy. One who kills himself. Is a very sinful person. So a killer of cows is also very sinful. So Nityananda in anger left that place. No, he left that place, and then Ramachandra Khan, he ordered that the place where Nityananda had stayed, he'd sat down in the Durga Mandapa, this Ramachandra Khan was a Shakta. He would worship Durga by killing animals. So Ramachandra Khan said that this Nityananda came, so now you have to purify the whole place by putting cow dung. He's such an offensive personality. The Shaktas in Bengal are traditionally very offensive towards the Vaishnavas. They're offensive. Everything about them is offensive. They think that Vishnu comes from Durga. She is the supreme personality of deviness. Yes, Mahabhagavati. Anyway, Nityananda, he became angry and he left that place, and then Ramchandra made more of an offense. So after some days, the Muslim representative of the government came and accused Ramchandra Khan of corruption. It wasn't only nowadays that corruption was common in India. It was common then also. In fact, one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopinath Patnaik, he was also corrupt, stealing the government's money. So he came and he, charging Ramchandra Khan with corruption, he killed a cow, which, you know, it's extremely inauspicious. And then he did pillaging, and the whole village became empty. What is that verse? Mahater Abhira. Anyway, Krishnas Kaviraj says, this is the result of an offense to a great personality. The whole place becomes empty. Because he was a great offender, Ramachandra Khan, he got the anger of Lord Nityananda. Another incident of Lord Nityananda's anger, when he was coming with the party from Bengal that was managed by Shivananda Singh. So it was common that when they had to cross rivers, and to cross the river there is a toll collection booth, as are now common on the roads in India. So usually the person who is exacting the toll, they were quite exacting. They were quite strict. And they would try to squeeze out as much money as they could. So one evening, after the party had been traveling all day, they came to a river and the toll collector wouldn't let them cross, wouldn't let the party cross. And their lodging for the night was already planned in advance. Their lodging for the night was in the next village. So Shivananda, after some time, he said, look, let the party go. We've been traveling all day. I'll stay here and work it out with you, but let them go. So that was agreed, and the party crossed the river. But the delay became more and more, and no rooms were allotted. There was nothing to eat. And Nityananda became angry. Shivananda, he's not coming, because he was delayed working out the toll payment. So eventually, Shivananda came very late. And Nityananda was very angry. So even before Shivananda came, he was getting so angry. He said in the middle of the party, of all the devotees, that this Shivananda is not coming. Let him die. He became so angry. And then Shivananda's wife became very upset and started crying. Oh, you cursed my husband to die. So eventually Shivananda came and Nityananda stood up and kicked him hard in the chest. At which the one son of Shivananda, he became very upset and he left. So this Nityananda, he's misbehaving with my uncle, actually. So he left the party. He was upset at Nityananda's misbehavior. Shivananda calmed Nityananda down and said, today I'm so lucky, I got your mercy. You see, to get the Lord Nityananda's feet on your body, and you didn't even beg, Nityananda gave voluntarily. So he said, today you have accepted me as your servant. Without even asking, you gave me the dust of your lotus feet. So he was very pleased. And actually, that we find that repeatedly in Chaitanya Leela, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nityananda punishes someone and gets angry with them, that person becomes very happy. And they think, yes, now I got the real mercy. Because now I'm accepted as a servant. Because getting angry like that, you'll only do to someone who's very close to you. There are different ways of getting. The way Nityananda becomes angry with Ramachandra Khan, and the way he becomes angry with Shivananda is a different kind of anger. One is the anger of someone who's been offended, and the other kind of anger is the anger of someone who cannot be offended by that person. Nityananda cannot be offended by Shivananda Sen, because Shivananda Sen has pure devotion for Nityananda. So there's no question of actual offense. So it's the anger of like a parent toward a child. Or in this case, it's actually like a child toward a parent. Because Nityananda had accepted the role that you are supposed to look after me. And you're not doing it. So like an impetuous child. Well, you didn't give it to me. Like this. He becomes angry and upset. Unreasonable. Quite unreasonable. Nityananda, quite unreasonable. Behaving like a spoiled child. So Shivananda became very happy that today I've been accepted. And his wife came up crying and said, oh, Nityananda cursed you to die. He said, you crazy woman. He said to her, Pagalini, you crazy woman. I myself and my whole family should die if we give any slight inconvenience to Nityananda. So that is the anger of Nityananda. But he's described here as akrodha. The first word used to describe him is akrodha, paramananda. So these two, again, krodha, anger, and supreme bliss, they don't go together. When people are angry, they're not happy. It's not a happy quality. So we can understand that Nityananda's apparent krodha, or anger, it's actually another, it's not krodha in the sense of Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodhas tatha lobhas tasmat etat tayang trijet trayang tiyajet. There are three gates to hell: lust, greed, and anger. Dwaram nashanam. Therefore, these three should be given up. But none of the devotees are asking Nityananda to give up his anger. Now, don't get angry. They don't ask. That anger is another feature of his transcendental bliss. So he's described as akrodha. It's a shocking, maybe a word which, if we hear it, will be, in relation with Nityananda, will become surprised. Why do you call it akrodha? Just so that the rascals, they can understand, if they want to criticize Nityananda Prabhu for having such an apparently unsaintly character, he gets angry very easily, that they should understand that Nityananda Prabhu's anger, that is not like the anger of a materialistic person who becomes angry when his sense desires are not fulfilled. But Nityananda's anger is, in the case of Ramachandra Khan, because Ramachandra Khan was an offender to the Vaishnavas, so Nityananda became angry. Or in the case of Shivananda Singh, he became angry, exhibiting the affection that he had accepted Shivananda Singh as his maintainer. So, exhibiting the feelings, the transcendental feelings of a maintained person. This is the high level of God consciousness, just like Krishna became angry with Yashoda. Yashoda displeased Krishna. She made him so angry that he broke the yogurt pot. Anyway, he does that. But this anger in transcendence, that is most relishable. That is akrodha paramananda. So all these topics, this should be discussed among devotees. Should be discussed. We should discuss these topics. Generally we discuss topics of Bhagavad Gita among the public. But among the devotees we should discuss also Bhagavad Gita. But what is the nature of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of nectar derived from the mellows of devotion? That should be discussed. So akrodha paramananda nityanandarai abhimana shunya nitai nagarebhyai. It's again abhimana shunya. He appears, Balaram, Lakshman, Nityananda, they appear to be quite egoistic people, if we judge from the external platform. But this by calling him Abhimana Shunya, that is exhorting us to don't see from the external platform. Lakshman, he'd get angry. No doubt, he'd get angry. But that was all in the service of Rama. Balaram, he would get angry. That was all in the service of Krishna. That may be difficult to understand also sometimes. But Krishna and Balaram are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they act as if two different people. And sometimes as if with conflicting interests. Sometimes Balaram, he didn't go against Krishna. But he wasn't very happy that Krishna, well, in one sense he was, in another he wasn't. That Krishna was siding with the Pandavas because Balaram had affection for Duryodhana, who was his disciple in the art of club fighting. So Nityananda, he appears to be an egoistic person, a highly eccentric person. Even as a fully grown man, he would sometimes enter the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Grihastha Lila. Nityananda would enter fully naked. But that in the feeling himself in the mood of a little boy, because he became the child of Srivash Thakur and Malini. Their one child died during Mahaprabhu's kirtan, and Srivas didn't become even slightly Srivas only became disturbed when the women were crying, and he went and told them, shut up, don't disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. His child, his boy had just died, just in the middle of the kirtan, suddenly dying. But Srivas's only concern, it wasn't that my child died, but these women, they're crying, they're disturbing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so pleased with Srivas that he said, you lost one son, but now myself and Nityananda, we will become your son. So you lost one, you got two. So Nityananda was this son, and he behaved exactly like that. Malini was an old woman. Her breasts were dried up, but Nityananda wanted to drink milk from her breasts. So they filled up with milk, and he used to drink from her breasts. All these descriptions are given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Nityananda, one day he came just like that, like completely naked, but in the mood, but doing so without even thinking, just like a young child, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, they run around, at that age, you don't put clothes on them. Maybe in the towns nowadays they do, but traditionally, especially in the villages, the young boys and girls will run around completely naked. The clothes, they're just, for most of the year, in this climate, cloth is just for the sake of decency. Otherwise, not required for keeping warm or any such thing. So the young children, they'll only have this black thread around there. You have that in under or something? Everywhere. That black thread around their waist, and that's all. And no one cares. What does it matter? Just a little child. So they run around naked like that, and no one thinks anything of it. So Nityananda, in that mood, he one time came to the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was fully, fully grown up. In the householder's house means there are women there also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's young wife, Lakhi Priya, she was there also in the house. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there with his devotees, and he called all the devotees. He called, bring some new cloth. And they made some kopin for Nityananda Prabhu and put that on, and again took some of that cloth and tore it. Tore little pieces. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all the devotees, you keep that in your hair. Because generally they'll keep their hair tied up, this shikhar is tied as a top knot. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that by keeping this kopin of Nityananda Prabhu on your head, you will be free from all lusty desires. So it's not that Nityananda, he is some lusty person who gets angry because of unrequited lust. But because he's completely free from any lust, then he's also free from any has no mundane desires. There's no question of mundane anger. There's no question of mundane anything. His behavior is completely beyond any rules and regulations of this world. He shows that in his behavior. He doesn't have to follow any rules. He doesn't follow any rules. He does whatever he likes. He would also, in the mood of a young boy, even though he's a fully grown man, he would perform pranks like a naughty little boy. He would let loose the calves so they drink all the milk. He would, in the field, he would go and milk all the cows. He would walk up to girls. Just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in his Grihastha Leela, he was very circumspect with women. He would never talk to them. Just when he was young, he would joke with the young girls. But when he became older, then he was very careful in his dealings with women. All Grihasthas can take an example from this. Grihastha is not a license to just talk with all women. But in the traditional culture, they would not just talk with anyone. It would be very, like I say, circumspect, very reserved in that matter. But Nityanand, he would walk up to the, he's fully grown and sannyasi, so to speak, and he'd walk up to the girl and say, "Will you marry me?" I mean, even now in India, that's considered a bit strange. But in those days, it was unthinkable. His behavior was completely beyond any rules of this world. That's the point. That he showed that, that he is not constrained in any way, by any rules. He would swim in the Ganga, which is full of sharks or dangerous fish, with no concern. Crocodiles, filled with these crocodiles. Nowadays there are not many crocodiles in that part of the Ganga. You have to go further down towards Diamond Harbour. But in those days, the crocodiles are that far north as Navadvip. He had no concern. So the followers of Nityananda also, they're like that. They're all in that mood. They all behave in most unconventional, that's the word, alokic, unconventional ways. So it's a very unusual character of Nityananda. Very unusual. But by his preaching, the whole of Bengal, throughout the whole of Bengal, so many people took up Krishna consciousness. And the effect is going on even today. So many. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left Bengal at the age of 24 and he went to Puri. And after that, he hardly came back. He didn't preach in Bengal. But Nityananda preached in Bengal widely. And then after that, in the next generation, Narottam Das, who was empowered by Nityananda, specifically he was empowered by Nityananda to preach. So by the influence of Nityananda Prabhu and his direct followers, the 12 Gopals in Krishna Leela, they came as the followers of Nityananda Prabhu and they preached Krishna consciousness, so that their Krishna conscious culture in Bengal, that is the gift of Nityananda Prabhu. And that it's going all over the world now, that is also the gift of Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the order to preach Krishna consciousness. And that was factually done by Nityananda Prabhu. And whoever's preaching Krishna consciousness, it is understood that they're getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Lochan Bale Shepab. Hino avatar cha rati nahi bhalo lochan bale shai papi elo argelo. Lochan Das Thakur says that whoever has no feelings for such an avatar, he comes from the spiritual world to deliver us and forcefully, practically forcefully he does. Let's read what's in between before we go to the Adhama Patita Jive Dare Dare Giya Harinama Maha Mantra Den Bilaya. He goes to the houses of the most fallen, goes door to door, every house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said every town and village, but Nityananda goes to every house of the most fallen, particularly. Nityananda particularly preached among the most fallen. And he distributed, take the Harinam, take Harinam Mahamudra, take it. Jare deke tare kohe, dante trina dhari. That's a sign of great humility, to put a straw in your mouth. I've never seen anyone do that. But we hear this often in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So whoever he meets, he puts with a straw in his teeth, showing great humility. Amar ekiniya laha bhajako nahari. You can purchase me. I'll become your slave if you worship Gaurahari. So he would say this to the most fallen people, he would exhibit intense humility before them. To put a straw in your teeth and bow down, that is a sign of extreme humility, that I'm submitting myself fully to you. So with this intense humility to people who no one treats them with any humility, because they're the lowest. And even among themselves, they don't treat each other so nicely, maybe. There's no humility. But they never experienced it. No one will ever behave with these people in such a manner. And they may feel extremely embarrassed by that. But Nityananda, prepared to give himself to someone who worships Gaurahari. Etaboli Nityananda Bhume Gauri Jai Shonara Parvata Jena Dhulate Lotai Luta, it's written. So saying this, Nityananda, in bliss, rolls on the ground, looking like a golden mountain, rolling around in the dust. So, Hena Vabata Arja Rati Nahi Bhava Najondala. So such an avatar, Hena Vabatare Ja Rati Najondala. To such an avatar, all the avatars come, they come down to pick others up. But Nityananda, he doesn't come to pick, he puts them on his shoulders and carries them back to Godhead. Pushes them. He doesn't come and say, here, look, here's the Bhagavad Gita, would you like to follow it? He practically pushes people. Go back to Godhead. He obliges them. If you come to someone's house like that with such humility, then they become obliged to do what you want of them. So he's practically forcefully sending them back to Godhead. So Lochan says that one, to anyone, can we find out why this is happening? Why did that happen? Why is it happening from time to time? Do you know why that happens? Do we have to move the speaker box? What should be done so we don't get this sound? No idea. It's just current fluctuation. Is that adibhautik klesh or adidaivik klesh? Adidaivik, the Bijli Devatas.
Somebody wants to donate 1 lakh rupees. There is a Fender sound system with anti-feedback. There is no feedback even if you put microphone. You know, there is 1 lakh rupees.
1 lakh rupees. Okay. Remind me afterward. I'll try and get it. So, Heno Abhatare Ja Rati Najan Melo Lochan Bale Shai Papi Elo Argalo. Lochan says that someone who has no interest in Nityananda, and such a merciful person, they don't take any interest. You hear about it, and there are in Bengal, there are plenty of offensive people who they criticize Nityananda, they say all kinds of terrible things, which I won't repeat here. Then such a sinful person, Lochan Das, he says, Elo Argelo. What can you say about their life? They came and they went. It's just their life is completely meaningless. There's nothing of any meaning or value whatsoever to such a person. Now it's 11:28. All right, we have to sing some more.